We are joined now by Max Orr of Carolina Public Humanities. Humanities.unc.edu is their website for another round of Oh, the Humanities, talking about scholarship research and, in this case, events coming up later on this week related to the humanities on campus. Max, thanks for joining us again, as always.
Always a pleasure. I don't like the idea of cold weather ahead. Coming from Vermont, I moved down here to avoid all cold weather, even in the 30s.
I think you still got to go a little bit further down to avoid
all
the cold weather.
I know,
or just wait a few years.
I get to laugh at the way Southerners respond to cold weather and snow and whatnot. But thank you for having me. And you know, Aaron, I always bring you a couple gifts when I come. I bring you some dates about things that have happened on this date in history, December 4th. And I try to relate them to what it is we're going to be talking about. So here's what I brought for you today. In 1969, the year I was born, if you want to do the math, you can figure that one
done
out.
Done and done.
In 1969, tragically, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were killed in a police raid in Chicago. They were both members of the Black Panther Party. Fred Hampton, in particular, was the head of the Illinois chapter and the second highest ranking member of the Black Panther Party in the United States at the time. They had been particularly incensed at police brutality in Chicago and had been looking to make link-ups with some of the youth-oriented, for lack of a better word, gangs that had been organized in some of the neighborhoods in Chicago, and were looking to bring them into the Black Panther movement. This really scared many authorities, both in the federal and local governments, and a raid was held in the middle of the night on December 4th, 1969, early morning, and it was and the two of them were killed. It was ruled a quote justifiable homicide by the authorities, but later a civil case was awarded to the families for this. And many in the community, in the Black Panther community, to this day believe it was an assassination. But I'll leave that aside for the historians. But I also want to bring up a birthday, and it sounds like we're going to just do a total jump into a completely different category, but I hope you'll see how they go together. Today is the birthday of NFL offensive lineman Joe Thomas. I had to find somebody who had a birthday, and that was somewhat related.
There you go.
He is a unfortunately he's on injured reserve this year. He's considered one of the best offensive linemen in the league. But I bring him up only because he, as everyone in the NFL, has been thinking about how to navigate, negotiate, respond to the NFL anthem protests. And I don't want to put him out on a limb. I don't think he's been one of the most outspoken players in any way, shape, or form. But his takes on it were that Colin Kaepernick would be a distraction if he were on a team. And quote unquote, today and every day we are bonded together as one. This is when everybody ran out in support of first responders. So he sort of takes a standard, you know, unity over protest kind of line. And that the reason that Colin Kaepernick is not being hired by a team is not because of any political stance about Colin Kaepernick, but because he would be a distraction, which in itself might be political.
That's a little political.
Yeah,
I think too.
Yeah. I think so. So I bring these two things up because on Wednesday, we are in collaboration with the General Alumni Association holding an event out at the Friday Center from 6 to 7:30. It's part of the GAA's Consider This, and we are a collaborator with them. We'll be moderating it. And it is on the NFL protest. It's free and open to the public, a discussion on the NFL protests, their meaning. And as you know, what we do with humanities is a little bit of dialogue and reflection about it. Mm-hmm. And our guest will be Matt Andrews, professor of history. We also will have Ted Shaw from the law school. And our guest, someone you know very well, Debbie Stroman, will be
Stroman,
also one
yes.
of the one of the panelists. So welcome, Debbie, to a place you've been many times.
Absolutely. WCHL network is everything.
That is true. So tell us about the event that's coming up on Wednesday. You and I have talked about this issue on a number of occasions in the past, and obviously it's not going away, and there are still people who are learning about things that have been in the news and have been talked about and issues and just facts and realities that have been talked about at great length, but people are still kind of gradually picking up on them. So the importance of keeping this conversation going is still front and center.
Absolutely. And I've said repeatedly, and many people agree, that sport is oftentimes that center of the hub of what goes on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about it from an academic perspective, when you think about sport, you have a whole spew of academic departments that touch the sport. psychology, history, economics, business. You can just go on and on. And so when you have a real-life case, a practical application, it's great learning not only for the students but also the community. And this is one definitely that touches a lot of different people, young, old, black, white. When we're talking about economics, we're talking about the most profitable and socialistic sport entity in the world, so to speak. So this is a great topic to continue the dialogue.
There's so many different angles that we could be looking at this issue from, obviously, the initial impetus for Colin Kaepernick's protest in the first place, which is racism writ large in America, but racial disparities in policing in particular. You mentioned the economics of it with the NFL. What are some other angles that people could and should be examining and understanding this issue from that maybe people aren't on a regular basis?
Well, since our country is really charged right now, in particular with politics and with race and economics, I think one of the most important things to do is to look at this situation from how we are being civil with one another, mm-hmm. how we are respecting one another, and what is patriotism. And I love the quote by James Baldwin, who said, "I love America more than any other country in this world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually." Mm-hmm. And this is an example where you have Americans with good spirit, goodwill, who are questioning, how do you protest? How do you make your voice heard? When people march, they aren't marching because of the traffic. When people put a flyer up on a wall or a board, they aren't protesting the wall. And so what Colin Kaepernick did, and now we can't even say that it's just NFL folks who are kneeling or protesting, but we have entertainers, people who really taken this as a way to demonstrate the importance of us taking care of all Americans.
Mm-hmm. Someone said, I can't remember who the first person was that said this, but it's been retweeted 1,000 times and restated 1,000 times since, but it's such an insightful point that this started out as a protest against racial disparities in policing, and it gets turned in the media and in sort of popular discourse into this anti-military thing or anti-American or unpatriotic display. And someone, I can't remember who it was, initially said it, but it was such an important point that it says a great deal about the United States and about its history that when someone protests racism, it gets interpreted as anti-American.
Well, because it's the uncomfortable subject.
Yeah.
We continue to struggle with apologies, forgiveness, reparations, just having a basic conversation on what it means to be black in America. The other part is some people would argue the forced patriotism of the NFL and professional sports. In most other domains, you don't start an event with the Pledge of Allegiance or the singing of the national anthem. It's become this glorified, commercialized way to express patriotism. And it wasn't until 2009 that the players actually had to be a part of the anthem. Most coaches, and I can look at our very own coach Dean Smith, who would keep the players in the tunnel. And I just recently was reminded of Charlie Scott, our first black player.
I was going to mention Charlie Scott,
right.
Yeah.
And how Coach Smith actually kept him, kept the entire team away from this dynamic mm-hmm. of how you force patriotism on the athletes. And in many ways.
Shout out to Art Chansky, by the way, because he had a sports notebook to that effect a couple of weeks ago and taught me about that. I had no idea. But yeah, that's an excellent point.
So employees or the players are being told to support various causes that mm-hmm. the NFL is getting involved with, in particular from an economic perspective. And so how would you feel if your employer said, well, we want you to be involved with whether it's pro-life or pro-choice, and you might not want to participate in that? Or for the breast cancer, we want you to wear pink. So they're asking the players to do things that fit their particular economic or charitable interests, but the players don't have the right to do things that speak to their voice and their interests.
Yeah, that actually raises an interesting question sort of going along with this, that there are so many instances where players are asked to or required to support a cause or wear clothing for a particular cause or speak out on behalf of or something that they might not themselves support. What should the reaction be in that case? If it's like, obviously, if it's standing up for the national anthem and declaring your patriotism while you're upset about endemic racism in America, but and like wearing pink on in October is a little bit less controversial, mm-hmm. I hope. But there's a lot of middle ground there. Someone who doesn't want to be a shill for a corporation might have an issue wearing Nike gear, right? What is the line there?
Have you seen this recently? This last weekend, there was the individualized tailored cleats for players, and mm-hmm. so I think this is sort of one of these responses in saying that the NFL is going to get behind whatever your thing is. And I wonder how much of that is an explicit response to sort of the tensions around social issues and social protests, and just what you were saying, that the NFL gets to decide what charity you are. Oh, don't worry, we're going to let you support your foundation, whether it's, you know, something for your hometown or something that you have a pet charity or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think it's responding to that.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman and Max Orr, you just heard him. Dr. Stroman's going to be one of the panelists at the Consider This panel discussion on NFL protests this Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 at the Friday Center. It's free and it's open to everyone. It's part of the GAA. They just want you to RSVP. If you're planning on attending, you can do that via a link at the Carolina Public Humanities website, which is humanities.unc.edu. So tell us about the other panelists. Obviously, Ted Shaw needs no introduction. Director of the Center for Civil Rights, UNC law professor. Lloyd Kramer is the moderator. He's the director of Carolina Public Humanities, also a historian. Matt Andrews is a UNC historian. Yeah. What's his background?
He's brilliant. Yeah. I would just say, Matt Andrews, one thing just to, and I hope he's listening, Matt, so you can hear that I just said that about you.
I appreciate that you put the panelists in alphabetical order, so he gets first billing over Ted Shaw, which has got to be
a big deal. He's a wonderful historian. He teaches two of the most popular courses in the history department on sports in America. Mm-hmm. It's courses on Southern. I've seen him lecture on Southern football, race in football. I've seen him speak on Muhammad Ali, all sorts of wonderful topics. And just to give you a sense of just how good he is at, better than I am right now, being articulate about these issues, he just won the Chiron Award. I think I'm pronouncing that as the last lecture award, where you get to give, as though you're about to go off and die, you get to the last lecture.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
students vote on this to decide which professor they want to give this award to. So it just gives you a sense of how persuasive he is, and I know he'll add a lot to the conversation.
Really cool. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there, get more information about all kinds of upcoming events and activities. The spring 2018 calendar is up now, right?
It is.
I'm holding it in my hand.
You are
so,
indeed. Yeah. And there might be some people that are jealous it hasn't shown up in their mailboxes yet, but that's the vicissitudes of bulk mail. But if you go on humanities.unc.edu, you will see our full listing of events. Every one of them is open for registration. And we're really excited about a spring semester. And I know Aaron will have plenty of opportunity to talk about some of the various events and whatnot, but you can go and get a sneak preview right now.
And again, the NFL protest panel this Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 at the Friday Center. Dr. Stroman, I'm going to let you have the last word. Something that you're not going to talk about on Wednesday, but something that you think people ought to know or ought to consider or ought to think about with regard to the NFL protest issue writ large.
Well, this has definitely been going on for the past year, so I would just encourage people to come out, because we have to think about the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have these dialogues on Sundays or in the evenings with your children, it's important to be informed as opposed to just spewing what the media might say. But come out and hear our diverse opinions on this. We'll also have a former NFL player in the audience as well, so I think his perspective will be really helpful.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there and find out more and register via a link on the website for the NFL protest panel this Wednesday, 6 to 7:30 at the Friday Center. Dr. Stroman, Max Orr, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Aaron. Always a pleasure.